Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read this morning beginning in verse number 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Today's message is entitled, Restart Your Thoughts. Now, we've learned how to restart our life. We've learned how to restart our race. And today we're going to learn that we've got to think biblically as we begin afresh and anew for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so follow with me as I read now, beginning in verse number 1, and I'm going to read down through verse number 8 for our scripture reading. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you want to please God? Right? I think that's why you're here today. Some of you are like, I'm here to please my wife. She said she'd kill me if I didn't go to church today. But hopefully you're here to please God, all right? And if that's your heart, we're going to learn how that is accomplished, and we're going to learn how it is accomplished through biblical thinking. So let's pray, and we'll jump into the message today. Father, thank you for the wonderful time already meeting young families and praying for these new families and these new babies. Thank you for our veterans and for their sacrifices to give us the freedom to worship today as we please. We do pray that you'd bless America. Father, how we need revival. We pray for the salvation of many of our leaders. We pray, God, that you would help us to be the church, to be the salt and light that we're to be in this day. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless this time in your word. Once again, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, the Houston Astros recently hired a coach by the name of Morgan Insberg, a former big league third baseman, and they gave him the title Mindset Coach. His job is to be the mindset coach. And his job is to coach the players into visualizing their hitting and their throwing and to becoming the team unit that they're supposed to be. And it's interesting how that professional athletes have discovered that you've got to have the right mindset in order to be able to play as a team, in order to be effective. Now, they are just discovering what God's Word tells us as Christians and what God told us thousands of years ago. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said to the believers, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so today we're not speaking about the power of positive thinking, but today we're speaking about the necessity of biblical thinking and how our mind can be a mind that is flowing forth with God's thoughts and how we can think the way God would have us to think. Now, as we come to the text before us this morning, we see that God very clearly gives to us a pattern whereby we might have His guidance for our lives and whereby we might be able to think the way that God wants us to think. And I want you to notice here in our notes this morning that God has a very particular way for you and for me as we live according to His thought pattern. Notice, if you would, in the passage today in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." If you want to restart your thoughts, the first step that I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God is that it must be done through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It must be done through a relationship. Now you say, well, why do you start there? Because I believe that every relationship generates laws consistent with the one to whom we are relating. Let me say that again. Every relationship generates laws consistent to the one with whom we are relating. For example, Terry and I have been married for nearly 35 years, and I have in my heart a desire to call her and to communicate with her on a daily basis, several times a day, to let her know my heart for her. When it's her birthday, I'm mindful to remember that. Or die. No, not really, but I'm mindful to remember that. When it's our anniversary, I'm mindful to remember that. I'm mindful that when she's having a tough day, to be sensitive to that, because every relationship generates certain laws consistent to the one with whom you are relating. If you are a parent, it affects the way you think. It affects the way you live. You go to the mall differently than I go to the mall. Now, when we had four children and we went to the mall, I was like this. Where are they? Where are they? Get over here, get over here. And just trying to make sure they didn't get out in the street and get lost. And how many of you parents have ever lost one at the mall? Am I the only one, or some of you too? And is that a fun experience? Because you see, when you're in relationship with children, you're conscious of them, right? When you're in relationship with a spouse, you're conscious of your spouse. Well, it would only seem right that if we are in relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we would be conscious of that relationship. What a tragedy that so many say that they are a Christian but never think, what would the Lord want me to do here? What is His will in this particular situation? And so we begin our thinking in a relationship pattern of thinking. Now, this relationship that I speak about is, first of all, a victorious relationship. The Bible says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them, now notice this phrase, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to say those three words, in Christ. That's the relationship. We are in Christ. When someone accepts Christ as their Savior, they enter into a relationship with Him. When someone has as their Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in Christ. He is in them by His Spirit. And the Bible says, when you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. Now, notice the wording there. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you want to look to see what it's there for. And the word therefore is referring back to the previous chapters. And if you've ever studied the book of Romans, you know that this book is a book that gives us the law and truth of salvation. And for example, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. When you read the verses before Romans chapter 8, these chapters before Romans 8 are chapters telling us about salvation. These chapters tell us that we are justified by the grace of God. They tell us that God hath set forth His Son, Jesus, to be a propitiation, and that word means a payment, to be the payment for our sins, that He might be righteous in giving us the remission of sins. My friend, this morning, the only way that you can have salvation is to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for God hath set forth Jesus to be a propitiation or payment for our sin. My friend, it is Jesus that became our mercy seat. He paid the price for our sin, and when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the blood of Christ is applied to your sin account. Your sins are washed away, and God the Father declares you righteous, not because you are worthy, but because Jesus is worthy, and Jesus shed His blood, and you are declared righteous by a holy God through Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, because now that you are in Christ, your sin has been covered, and your sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west, as the songwriter said. What sin are you talking about, my friend? You have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to become sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, but He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. My friends, Jesus Christ was the virgin-born Son of God. He lived in this world for 33 and a half years. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Yet when He went to the cross of Calvary, every lie that you and I have ever told, every sin that we have ever committed, Jesus bore those sins in His body. And the Bible says he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. He took his sin, our sin, upon himself, and he bore that sin. He, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus had never sinned. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God through him. If you are saved this morning, you have been declared righteous, not because you joined the Baptist church, not because you've had a religious experience, not because you've given your money. My friend, salvation, being declared righteous, only happens when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And to those who have done that, there is therefore now no condemnation. You're not hell bound. You are heaven bound. You have been forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. And there's a spirit of freedom. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the Spirit of life in Christ hath made us free. We have been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And when a man receives Christ as Savior, now the Spirit of life in Christ has indwelt him and has made you free from the law. All the law could ever do was tell us that we were worthy of damnation, but the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law and the penalty of the law, which is hell. And so we are entered into a victorious relationship that should affect our thinking. Not only is it a victorious relationship, it is a redemptive relationship. As we've mentioned just a moment ago, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now look at verse 3 if you would. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, there was a weakness with the law, the Old Testament law. You say, why? What is the weakness? Look in your notes, if you would, at James chapter 2 and verse 10. For the Bible says there, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. In other words, if you offended in one point, then you were found guilty. The law was never meant to be a way of salvation. It was simply pointing us to Jesus Christ. It was reminding us that we needed forgiveness. And so it was that God sent his Son. Now notice that in verse 3. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now Jesus was not a sinner, but he took the form of a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was in the similitude of men. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And God sent his Son in the likeness of flesh. You'll notice in your notes in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Would you say that phrase with me, please? God was manifest in the flesh. One more time. Someone says, Pastor Chapel, what delineates, what differentiates Bible Christianity from Islam, from the Mormon cult, from the Jehovah's Witness, and from so many others? There is one great differentiating factor, and that is that we believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the God-man, Jesus Christ, deity, wrapped in humanity, he came down to this earth and he came to this place, lived that perfectly sinless life, and then shed that blood on Calvary's tree so that all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ may be redeemed. Hey, what sin are you talking about, devil? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west, and you'll never begin thinking properly until you know that you're in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll feel condemned and you'll think you're condemned, and all you'll ever know is guilt. But my friend, when you come to Christ as Savior, now you'll recognize that through this relationship, you have been redeemed, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you what, it ought to make you glad you're saved this morning. that you are in Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm glad I'm in the Baptist church. I believe in the Baptist distinctives. I believe in the Bible as our only authority. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I believe in the two ordinances. I believe in all these things, but I've got to tell you, getting baptized in the Baptist church is not what gets you to heaven. I've got to tell you that joining some church is not what gets you to heaven. The thing that's going to take you to heaven, the thing that removes condemnation, is that you are in Christ Jesus. You see, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into your garage makes you a car. You've got to know Christ as your Savior, you see. Through a relationship, we begin to think differently because I am in Him and He is in me. Secondly, through renewal. Now, every relationship needs renewal. We have in February the couples retreat. It is for the purpose of renewal. It doesn't matter how strong a marriage might be. Every marriage needs renewal. Just like a car needs to change the oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, so it is that a marriage needs renewal. But every Christian life needs times of renewal. That's why we have a revival meeting every January, because we recognize every Christian needs times of renewal. Now, how are we renewed? Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, renewal takes place by the Spirit. By the Spirit. And the Bible says that the righteousness of the law is only fulfilled in us as we walk after the Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He is the one who can renew. He is the one who can make new our relationship day after day with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you become a partaker of the divine nature. You and I in this body are in the body of the old man, the flesh. But when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, His Spirit indwells us. And this is the divine nature. And this is what is meant when the Scripture says to walk in the Spirit. It is to walk in the divine nature of the one that has indwelt us at the moment of salvation. He is the renewing one. He is the guiding one. He is the strengthening one. He is the encouraging one. And I'm just saying that if you're going to have the right thoughts, they will come as the Spirit of God is renewing you day by day. Even as the new cars have the GPS that kind of guide us and tell us where to go, and some of them have sensors telling us how far a car is or whether we're veering off the road. Long before such technology, God said, I'm going to implant in my people my Spirit, and He'll let you know when you're doing wrong, and He'll let you know when you've done something right, and He'll encourage you when you've had a difficult day. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. And my friend, if you're a child of God born again this morning, you cannot sin and be happy about it. You cannot stay away from the Word of God and feel like that's a good thing. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to renew you and draw you closer to the Lord. And so the Bible says that we are, verse number 4, not to walk after the flesh, but we are to walk after the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we are renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Secondly, we are renewed by the Scriptures. We are renewed by the Word of God. Now notice again verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now notice that word, do mind. It means to direct one's thinking. Today's message is about our thoughts, restarting our thoughts. And we see here the word, do mind the things of the flesh. Let me ask you a question today. What are you minding today? What's on your mind today? Are you minding the things of the flesh, or are you minding the things of spiritual nature? The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affection on the things that are above. God says, I want you to mind the things that are heavenly and the things that are spiritual. And I'm here to tell you this morning that in this world where we have all different kinds of social media and all different kinds of television and HBO, Hell's Box Office, and all the rest of it coming into the minds of people, there is no way that you are going to be renewed spiritually unless you get this book right here into your mind. The average Christian man today is of a carnal mind. The average Christian man today cannot stand preaching like this because he wants to go on in his carnality and be comfortable. But I'm here to tell you today, if you indeed have a divine nature, if God is living in you, you will not be comfortable with a carnal mind. You will want to pursue the things of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're living after the carnal, you are uncomfortable. And the Word of God will bring that spiritual desire, and it will renew it day by day. I heard about a missionary in Zimbabwe who tried to give a New Testament to a man that was a very belligerent man. And the man said to the missionary, he said, "If you give me that Bible, all I'm going to do is take those papers and use them to roll my cigarettes." The missionary said, "All right, I'll tell you what. Promise me you'll at least read a few pages." The man took the Bible and said, "All right." Years later, they met at a Christian conference. This man from Zimbabwe had, by this time, become a Christian evangelist, and they bumped into one another at the conference. And the former pagan looked at the missionary, and he said, "Well," he said, "I smoked through Matthew, and I smoked through Mark, and I smoked through Luke, but I couldn't smoke through John 3:16. Because when I got to John 3:16 and realized who Jesus was and what he did for me, it changed my life." And I'm just trying to tell you this morning, the Bible will change your life and it will renew your mind. Look in your notes there at Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I'm telling you, my friend, your mind and my mind must be renewed day by day. And it's renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit who says, "No, don't go there." It's renewed by the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. It's renewed by the Holy Spirit who draws us to Christ. We must be renewed by the Spirit, and we must be renewed by the Scriptures. If I'm going to think correctly, I must be in relationship with Christ, and I must be renewed by the Spirit of Christ. And thirdly this morning, if I'm going to think correctly, it will be relationship renewal. And then thirdly, there must be spiritual resilience. There must be a passionate pursuit of the one who saved us. Now notice what it says in verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So first I must pursue the spiritual. I must be pursuing the spiritual. Now notice please in verse 6 it says, "For to be," notice this, "to be carnally minded, to be spiritually minded." In the participle form, as we put these words together, it means that we are minding the Spirit, to be mindful of the Spirit. That means to say, "Spirit of God, guide me as I go to work today. Spirit of God, how would you have me treat this person today? How would you have me respond to my wife today? What would you have me to do for my husband today? Spirit of God, what about this unsaved man that I work with? What do you want me to do?" It is to be with the mind of God. And notice that phrase there in verse 6, to be spiritually minded, to be carnally minded. Now let's learn a little bit about that. First of all, to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is death. To be carnally minded is death. Now the word mind here is very, very strategic in the passage because it is the mind that is carnal or spiritual. And of course, an unsaved man is wholly given over to a carnal mind. The word carnal means of this earth, of the flesh. The carnal man has no desire for church. The carnal man doesn't like this Bible. He doesn't want 10 commandments telling him what to do. The carnal man doesn't really have a great desire for these things. And my friend, the man who is without Christ is completely in his carnality. Sadly to say, according to 1 Corinthians, even Christian men who are redeemed and who have the new nature can neglect that new nature, and instead of walking in the Spirit, they walk in the flesh and become a carnal Christian as well. Their mind is earthly thinking. And there are millions of professing Christian men today who are earthly thinking. And they are not minding the things of God. They're not leading their family in the ways of God. And ultimately, to be carnally minded is going to destroy their life and their family spiritually. There was a man that wrote a book recently called Over the Edge. It was a book about those who died in the Grand Canyon since 1895, 712 people. And for whatever reason, he wanted to write a book about it and tell how they died. And a vast number of them, nearly 50% of them, died at the Grand Canyon simply because they ignored signs like, do not enter, loose shale. Just last year, one father was playing with his children, watch me, and acting like he was going to fall over, and he did. And he perished. The carnal man wants to get as close to the edge as he can get. He wants to play in that world. He wants to be able to live the way he wants to live and do what he wants to do. And ultimately, the man who is carnal is going to destroy his marriage, is going to destroy his testimony, is going to find spiritual death as the result. You see, the carnal mind does not reason biblically and ultimately brings death. But the spiritual mind, notice the rest of verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's read that second half together. Ready, begin. But to be spiritually minded is... Now, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, folks, we live in a world filled with anxiety and depression. We live in a world that is disturbed and hurting. We live in a world that is highly medicated, and sometimes those medicines are needed. I recognize that. But God also has a remedy, and he says, I want you to come to my word and come to my spirit and walk in the spirit. And I want you to hear the song this morning, Be Still My Soul. I want you to come to that place where you can be spiritually minded once again, trusting me, trusting my sovereignty, resting in my word. And you'll find that with me, there is life and there is peace. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you have been saved, there is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, if you are saved, Jesus said, though the world be filled with tribulation, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so we must pursue the spiritual. We must pursue the spiritual. That's why I commend you for being here this morning, attending your adult Bible fellowship, reading the Word, because if it's not a passionate pursuit, it's very easy to go into a fleshly default mode. It's very easy to revert to the mean and to find ourselves back into a mode of just doing what comes natural, you know? The flesh. But God says, no, no, when you got saved, my divine presence came into your life, and I want to keep this relationship red hot. I want you to think with me and walk with me and talk with me, pursuing the spiritual. And ultimately, as you do that, secondly, you're going to please God. You're going to please God. Now remember that in verse number 7 it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, the fleshly man, the carnal man, is entangled with the world. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. My friend, if you're filled with anger this morning, that does not please God. My friend, if you're constantly watching shows and constantly involved in internet activity that is fleshly and carnal, you cannot please God. If you're involved in drugs and alcohol and just whatever the flesh wants, that's a carnal life, and you're pursuing that, that is not pleasing to God. And someone said, well, I'm saved and I'm under grace, and whatever I do pleases God. I've got news for you, my friend. A Christian that is not living for the Lord is not pleasing to the Lord. So I thought there was no condemnation. Oh, thank God, you're still saved. Thank God, you're still on your way to heaven. But I'm here to tell you this morning that very clearly the Bible tells us that you can please God, and we should desire to please God. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the, that he may please him who hath. Now, how many of you are thankful that God loved you and God saved your soul? Amen? And when you really get that in context, and if you really believe in heaven and hell and the power of the blood, and you believe that you've been pardoned from your sin and you're on your way to heaven, listen, you don't go to church because you have to. You go to church because, man, Jesus did so much for me. I want to go worship him today. Amen. I want to please him. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why do you want to avoid the carnal? Well, because my wife's going to catch me if I keep doing this. No. Why do you avoid the sinful? Well, I don't want to lose my job. You know, they do the drug test. Why do you avoid the sinful? Well, I don't want my Sunday school class to know. No. We avoid the carnal and we seek the spiritual because we want to please the one who died for us. Paul said it this way, the love of Christ constraineth me. When I think of how much he loved me, I want to live to please him. Now, this is biblical thinking. This is biblical thinking. And it's kind of like the three R's, not the reading, writing, and arithmetic. But let's repeat this and let's remember. How can I restart my thinking? Number one, be in a relationship with Christ. Is he your Savior? Are you in Christ? Because if you're not in Christ, you're not even thinking about him, right? Boy, when you're in a family, you think about your family. Are you in Christ? You must have the relationship. Secondly, there is renewal. Are you walking in the Spirit? Is the Spirit renewing you? Are you walking in the Scriptures? Is your mind being renewed? Relationship, renewal. And then thirdly, resilience, because it says to be spiritually minded. If you are in a state of being, that is in a state of pursuit. And I'm pursuing the spiritual. That's why I'm at church. I'm pursuing the spiritual. That's why I'm in discipleship. I'm pursuing the spiritual. That's why we read the Bible at home. We're in a pursuit of God, and it's something we're very resilient about. And so the three R's of thinking properly, say them with me. First, we must be in a what? Secondly, we're in a renewal. And thirdly, we are with resilience, seeking after the Lord. Now, it is the Holy Spirit that indwells us at salvation, at the very moment of salvation. Notice what it says in verse 9 as I close. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There are some folks that erroneously teach in certain various groups that you receive Christ one day, and then you wait, and you wait, and you pray, and you hope, and you hope, and you hope that you might get the Holy Spirit. And by their interpretation, that's always going to be accompanied with certain manifestations. The problem with that is very, very distinct. The Bible does not teach that we have Jesus, but we don't have the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that we either have them or we don't. And the Bible says here in verse number 9, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. What I want you to understand is John 3 is absolutely correct, that you're either born of the Spirit or not. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born at that moment of the Spirit. That's the relationship. And that Holy Spirit of God renews the relationship and causes us to have the resilience to continue having a mind for Christ. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, carnally minded, spiritually minded. Death, peace. Death, life. God's word is very plain. God wants us to be renewed in our thinking, that our thinking might be after Christ and after his will. The television and all of the news shows coming out about the devil and about all the gay this and the sinful that, the television's not going to renew your family. Have you figured that out? It's going to fuel that carnal instinct, that old nature. But the Word of God, beautiful music like we heard this morning, Christian fellowship, you know what it does? It just renews us. It gives us a resilience to keep on thinking and keep on living for the Lord. And I want to encourage you this week to restart your thoughts. Make sure you know Christ is your Savior. Make sure the Spirit of God is renewing you and that you are seeking after and that you are mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day.